Head.
Secretary McNamara on 9-0.
Bob, how we doing?
Oh, fine, I think, Mr. President. I thought your press conference was terrific on Saturday.
Well,
came over damn well.
We got another on Wednesday, one of these quickie ones, so you find us some stuff over there.
I'll do everything I can. I thought I'd hold one Thursday before I leave. I'm going to have to do it either then or at the plane side. I might as well control it over here.
What's new? Anything?
No, I think we're coming along reasonably well. We've had really quite an underground battle here on missile dependability, Goldwater's charge, and the Air Force has been, as I think I mentioned to you briefly, feeding it, I think, surreptitiously, both because it supports their desire for a manned bomber and also because I think there's a substantial number up there that are pro-Goldwater. But I think we've got it reasonably well under control, and I'm having issued today a very strong statement of Paul Nitze, Secretary of the Navy, concurred in by Admiral McDonnell, saying in effect that it doesn't make any difference whether the Air Force's bombers or missiles are reliable, that the Navy can win the war alone. And documenting, it doesn't say quite that language, but the theme of it is that, and I
won't
think
that start a fight between them?
Well, that's what I'd rather like to do. I think divide and conquer is a pretty good rule in this situation. To be quite frank, I've tried to do that in the last couple of weeks, and it's coming along pretty well, and I think we've got Goldwater dampened down for the minute on attacking us.
I want you to dictate to me a memorandum, a couple of pages, four-letter words and short sentences, several paragraphs, so I can read it and study it and commit it to memory. Not for the purpose of using it now. I'm not going to give out your figures on 20,000 killed last year compared to 5. But on the situation in Vietnam, the Vietnam picture, if you had to put it in 600 words, or maybe 1,000 words if you have to go that long. But just like you talk, I'd like for you to say that there are several courses that could be followed. We could send our own divisions in there and our own Marines in there, and they could start attacking the Viet Cong. And the results that would likely flow from that.
Mm-hmm.
We could come out of there and say we're willing to neutralize, let them neutralize South Vietnam, and let the commies take North Vietnam. And as soon as we get out, they could swallow up South Vietnam, and that would go. We could pull out and say, to hell with you, we're going to have Fortress America, we're going home. And that would mean that here's what had happened in Thailand, and here's what had happened in the Philippines, and come on back, get us back to Honolulu. Or we can say this is the Vietnamese War, and they've got 200,000 men, and they're untrained, and we've got to bring their morale up. They have nothing really to fight for because of the type of government they've had. We can put in socially conscious people and try to get them to improve their own government and what the people get out of their own government. We can train them how to fight, and 200,000 ultimately be able to take care of these 25,000. And that, after considering all of these, it seems that the latter offers the best alternative for America to follow. Now, if the latter has failed, then we have to make another decision. But at this point, it has not failed. And in the last month, X number of Viet Cong were killed and X number of South Vietnamese. The last year, 20,000 killed, 5,000. While we have lost a total of 100 people, in one day in Korea, we lost 1,000 or whatever it is. And that, after all, this is it. Now, I'm talking to people every day that are asking this question. And I've got to have some kind of a summarized, logical, factual analysis of it. And I believe that you can give it to me better than anybody else because you've been out there 3 times or 4, whatever it's been. And I assume that you think that the course we're following is the one that's least dangerous and least expensive at the moment, or you'd be advocating another one pretty strong. You may advocate nothing after you come back. If you don't, well, maybe we're wasting money on you going out there. But I would like to have, for this period, when everybody's asking me, something in my own words, I can say, well, here are the alternatives. And here's our theory, and here's what we're basing it on. Now, we don't say that we win, we don't know. We're doing the best we can. We think we ought to have them trained. Now, why'd you say you send 1,000 home? I'd put a sentence in that, because they'd complete their mission. And the illustration is that several hundred of them were working as military police, and they trained military police, so we didn't need to keep them there. Why'd McNamara say they're coming back in 65? Because when you say you're going to give a man a high school education, he's in the 10th grade, and you've got 2 years to do it, you can train him in 2 years. And that doesn't mean that everybody comes back, but that means your training ought to be in pretty good shape by that time. Now, there may be other problems, but that's what's said, not anything inconsistent, except with people who know nothing about it. But now this morning, here's a summary. Senator Scott said about the war in Vietnam yesterday, said the war, which we can neither win, lose, nor drop, is evidence of an instability of ideas, a floating series of judgments, our policy of nervous conciliation, which is extremely disturbing. Now, there's one of 100 senators that says that, and that's the front page of the Baltimore Sun. Senator Javis called on the State Department to issue a white paper documenting the necessity for the U.S. to stay in South Vietnam, Detroit Press. Senator Kaye says we can hardly be worse than we have been doing lately, hoping we find other alternatives than the two mentioned, either going in and fighting the American troops or pulling out entirely, Washington Post. Erwin Canaham, editor of the Christian Science Monitor, said the president's press conference was placid and calm and non-informative. Answers did not suggest that he was preparing the American people for the worst, and warned that public opinion is not prepared for a big Vietnam commitment such as the 62 Cuban showdown on Korea. Alexander Kendrick, ABC, says the answer cannot be delayed much longer, and he warned that psychologically we're approaching the Yalu River again, where Chinese and possibly Russian intervention must be expected. Now, they're all saying that following our speech in Los Angeles, where we said that this is a very, very dangerous business.
Mr. President, may I interrupt you? Who put the line in? I'm curious as to that.
I don't know. I would assume Bundy. Deeply dangerous game, but I don't see anything wrong with it even yet. I think it is deeply dangerous when anybody starts aggression. Now, that was not where it started at all. I blew my top here for a whole damn week. I jumped on you and jumped on Russ both while you were saying out in Saigon that you were invading North Vietnam, even if you were going to invade it. Now, I know at Rostow how he feels, and I know how we all feel. But they came back a week before we said it's a deeply dangerous game. This stuff is pouring out by reams. And the first story said that military officials in Saigon, it came from Saigon. I talked to you about it, and you said that that wasn't correct. So I jumped on Rusk about it, and Rusk comes back and points out the story itself, that military officials. And that's where it came from. Now, the story came from Saigon, and we're getting ready to do this. A lot of people in Saigon, they tell me, said that they got it from the State Department here, that Rostow had a propaganda move on to really invade North Vietnam and always had had it. Now, I don't know enough about the inner workings of these two departments. But I know that this thing had gone on 10 days or a week before we got it, and I can get the clippings and show them where they were full of it. But now they want to hang it on a little higher person and say that I indicated that we're going to invade Vietnam, or that we're going to hit the Chinese, or that we're going to bomb Moscow. Now, I didn't do any such thing. I said that this is deeply dangerous, and it is deeply dangerous. It's dangerous for any nation to start aggression and start enveloping neutral, freedom-loving people. And I think it is dangerous to 5,000 of them, 20,000 of them that got killed there last year. I think maybe Pierre did get in an argument with somebody and say this is an important sentence out in California, because they were writing about the sentence that said the communist, what was it, Phil Potter? it's communist civil war. And they wanted to know what we meant by civil war, and we were talking about the fight that's going on between the Chinese and the Russians, and calling each other ugly names and things like that, and we say that is civil war. But they're trying to transfer this stuff that's been coming out of Saigon onto this deeply dangerous statement. And we're just not doing it. They say that the administration's putting out all this propaganda itself. Now, I just give anything in the world we could stop everybody from talking except Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense and the President, and that we could clear those things. Was the not this Los Angeles speech cleared with your department?
No, I didn't see it.
Well, it was given to Bundy to clear with everybody.
Well,
it should have been.
There wasn't anything in it I would change.
All right.
It didn't make a difference.
Well, it ought to be. Now, is there anything in the press conference you'd change?
No, I thought it was excellent.
You think it's a mistake to explain what I'm saying now about Vietnam and what we're faced with?
Well, I do think, Mr. President, that it'd be wise for you to say as little as possible. The frank answer is we don't know what's going on out there. The signs I see coming through the cables are disturbing signs. Poor morale in Vietnamese forces, poor morale in the armed forces, disunity, tremendous amount of coup planning against Khan, about what you'd expect in a situation.
Well, then why don't we take some
months.
Why don't we take some pretty offensive steps pretty quickly then? Why don't we commend Khan on his operation and try to prop him up? Why don't we raise the salary of the soldiers to improve that morale instead of waiting a long time? Why don't we do some of these things that incline to bolster them?
Well, I'm not sure that faith here.
I sure as hell don't want to get in the position of Lodge recommended to me. The one thing he recommended is please give us a little more pay for our soldiers, and we turned him down.
Oh no, we've done that.
We haven't acted. We said we're going to wait till you go out there.
Well, no, he knows that there's money for that. There's no problem on that issue.
Well, then why don't we clear it up so that we get him answered? Now, I think it politically, I'm not a military strategist, but I think it, as long as we've got him there and he makes recommendations and we act on them, particularly if we act favorably, we're not in too bad a condition politically. But I think when he wires us and says, the only damn thing I want you to do is give him an increase in pay because the morale's terrible, and we say, well, wait, then if something happens in between, I think we are caught with our britches down. And I would give some...
That raise has gone through.
Oh, we told them that we'd wait.
No,
wire.
No, I think that the raise has gone through to the soldiers. The Vietnamese people are getting the pay. I think it was the first pay increase, I think, was to be the latter part of February. The question is, and the only question, if there's any waiting at all, is whether aid should increase the payment to the South Vietnamese government to offset the increase.
Well, then we ought to decide that, because you ought to read that wire that he sent us. That's the best wire we got, and I reply back.
I remember it.
And we ought to take the wire that you sent Khan as soon as he took over for me.
Yeah.
And then got his reply back, and then let's check on it again and see what he's doing.
I'll do that. Right.
Let's make a record on this thing, Bob, so
well,
that...
I agree with you on that. As a matter of fact, I have...
I'd like to have a wire out there to him nearly every day or so on something, either proving what Lodge is recommending or either trying to goose them up to do a little something extra. Now, I've been rather impressed from the news reports of this fellow's social consciousness, his getting out in the villages and talking to the people and offering them something that they claim that the news and gyms never gave them, and that this other outfit that took over didn't have time to give them. And I was rather encouraged by Lodge's cable yesterday in which he said that he showed more efficiency than either one of them.
That's right.
But I
agree with
that. I don't know why it's 200,000 and not showing some results, and why we keep saying that everything is bad and looks blue.
Well, this is a question, Mr. President. We're not seeing the results yet. And maybe they'll come, but it's a very uncertain period.
Well,
is behaving properly. No,
why don't we send Lodge a wire back and reply to the one he sent yesterday that we hardly agree with him? They ought to clear out an area and show some results. And to please tell Khan that we think this is absolutely essential to our continued morale here, our continued support or something.
Sure, we'll do that. We've gone. Sure, we'll do that.